Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you vital information and discussion of all sorts of health issues on your mind and in your life, from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. So first, as we always do for our new listeners, let us clarify what osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the United States with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or that between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but it will always be founded on our gentle, hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients, rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but is not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural issues, as well as problems like chronic headache, gastrointestinal issues, post-concussion syndrome, sleep disturbance, allergies, and many other health problems. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for your health problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that by giving you basic information about the problem so you can understand what's happening, as well as offer you solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. Before we get started on today's topic, let me remind you that you can listen to all of the prior Your Health shows online at your convenience, such as the shows on back pain, nutrition, carpal tunnel, allergy, etc., 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 by going to Robinhood Radio's website, then the on-demand section, then scroll all the way down and select the Your Health shows. Then you can click the individual show by topic. It's a great convenience, and it's the magic of on-demand radio. Well, what are we going to do today? Here in our corner of the Northeast, we've had a spectacular fall color season this year, which reminds me that it's also fall contact sports season again. Football, field hockey, soccer, rugby, cycling, fox hunting, trail riding, all those helmet sports, or not, as the case may be, all of what leave us vulnerable to head injuries and concussions from tackles, stick strokes, headbutts, falls, and crashes. So this week, we'll get an update on concussions, which we originally presented a year ago. There's been a great deal of media attention, research, and clinical work on concussions since we last talked about it. So here we go. But first, let's define what concussion actually means. A medical concussion is a type of head injury. The general definition of the word concussion is a hard knock, jolt, or blow. A medical concussion is literally a hard knock, jolt, or blow to the head that leads to an injury to the brain due to that trauma that impedes the way the brain works. It is usually caused by a blow to the head, for example, in a fall, car accident, or contact sport, but also can be caused by violent shaking, such as in whiplash. You do not have to lose consciousness to have a concussion, although that may happen. There are multiple grades of concussion, and we'll explore those shortly. So, in the short version, a concussion is a bonk on the head, but it is not only a bonk on the head. It is a bonk on the head that hurts the brain and causes changes in how our brains work, even if they're only minor or short-lived changes. In a medical concussion, our brains actually become bruised. The brain is a collection of tissue that is about the texture and consistency of soft custard or gelatin. Our brain floats in a bath of cerebrospinal fluid inside the skull, which serves many purposes, including as a fluid cushion for the brain to prevent injury to the brain's sensitive neural and vascular tissue from the usual array of life's knocks to the head. A concussion occurs when, in spite of the protections of skull and cerebrospinal fluid, the brain itself is bruised. The formal medical definition of concussion is a clinical syndrome characterized by immediate and transient alteration in brain function, including alteration of mental status and/or level of consciousness, resulting from mechanical force or trauma. People with concussions often cannot remember what happened immediately before or after the injury, and they may act confused. A concussion can affect memory, judgment, reflexes, speech, balance, and muscle coordination. Paramedics and athletic trainers who suspect a person has suffered a concussion may ask the injured person what year it is, or might ask them to count backwards from 10 in an attempt to detect altered brain function. Even very mild concussions should not be taken lightly. Neurosurgeons and other brain injury experts emphasize that although some concussions are less serious than others, there really is no such thing as a, quote, minor concussion. In most cases, a single concussion should not cause permanent damage. A second concussion, however, soon after the first one, does not have to be very strong for its effects to be deadly or permanently disabling. And multiple concussions can lead to permanent and debilitating changes in how our brains work. The NFL has been dealing with numerous cases of this in retired players. Let's look a little more in depth at how we think about concussions. Concussions have been traditionally classified into grades depending on the severity of the injury. There's a great deal of variability on grading of concussions depending on the organization doing the grading. And the grades themselves are not always applied or used consistently. The American Academy of Neurology is a great resource for accurate information and specific tools for dealing with concussion for both clinicians and the public. The American Academy of Neurology guidelines state that a grade 1 concussion is associated with no loss of consciousness, and symptoms of confusion last less than 15 minutes. A grade 2 concussion is the same, except that symptoms of confusion last longer than 15 minutes. In grade 3, loss of consciousness does occur. Grade 3 can be further divided into grades 3A and 3B, with brief loss of consciousness as measured in seconds and prolonged loss of consciousness as measured in minutes, respectively. According to the AAN, permanent brain injury can occur with either grade 2 or grade 3 concussions. Grade 2 does not have a loss of consciousness, but the confusion symptoms last longer than 15 minutes. It's important, I think, to realize that. One of the big issues with concussion in athletes is how soon they can return to play after a concussion. Of course, this depends on the seriousness of the concussion, but also on the past history of concussion in the particular injured athlete and how old the person is. I personally feel that no child under 18 years old should return to play after any concussion, no matter how mild, until all the symptoms have disappeared and only after a thorough clinical exam has cleared them to return to play. Concussion symptoms are often subtle and require a thorough exam to detect. And repeat concussions can lead to very serious impairment in our ability to think and maintain mental health throughout our adult life. So it is never worth the risk to return someone to play without absolute certainty that they are harboring no post-concussive symptoms. There are various guides and tip sheets available now regarding determining whether or not an injured adult or child has had concussions based on their symptoms. And if in doubt, keep them out of play. So, what are those symptoms we're looking for? Prolonged, constant, or recurring headache, vision disturbances, dizziness or vertigo, nausea or vomiting, impaired balance, confusion, memory loss, ringing in the ears, difficulty concentrating, sensitivity to light or sound, loss of smell or taste or changes in smell or taste, sleep disturbance with any unusual inability to fall asleep and or maintain normal sleep. If any of these occur after a blow to the head, any of them, a healthcare professional should be consulted as soon as possible. Grade 1 concussions, considered to be mild injuries to the brain, may not be observable in routine neurological exams. Diagnostic tests typically will not show any changes. Therefore, diagnosis is based on the nature of the incident and the presence of some specific symptoms, confusion being a primary one. The three principal features of such confusion are an inability to maintain a coherent stream of thought, disturbance of awareness with heightened distractibility, and an inability to carry out any kind of sequence of goal-directed movements. Well, those are the symptoms of a concussion, but how does it actually work? The brain normally sits inside the skull, cushioned gently, as we mentioned, by the surrounding cerebrospinal fluid. And the brain consists of that soft, custard, or gelatin-like substance and is vulnerable to outside trauma. The skull and the cerebrospinal fluid protect the brain against trauma, but they do not absorb all the impact of a violent force. An abrupt blow to the head or even a rapid deceleration, such as in a car accident, can cause the brain to bounce against the inner wall of the skull. There is potential for tearing of blood vessels, pulling of nerve fibers, and bruising of the brain material itself. Sometimes the blow can result in microscopic damage to the brain cells without obvious structural damage visible on a CT scan. In severe cases, the brain tissue can begin to swell. Since the brain cannot escape the rigid confines of the skull, severe swelling can compress the brain and its blood vessels and limit the flow of blood. Without adequate blood flow, the brain does not receive the necessary flow of oxygen and glucose. A stroke can even occur. Brain swelling after a concussion has the potential to amplify the severity of the injury. A hematoma is a blood clot that collects in or around the brain after a blood vessel is torn or damaged. If active bleeding persists, hematomas can rapidly enlarge. Like brain swelling, the increasing pressure within the rigid confines of the skull due to an enlarging blood clot can cause serious neurological problems and can even be life-threatening. Some hematomas are surgical emergencies. Hematomas that are small sometimes can go undetected initially, but may cause symptoms and require treatment several days or weeks later. The warning signs of a serious brain injury are pain with constant or recurring headache, motor dysfunction, an inability to control or coordinate motor functions, or disturbance of balance, sensory changes in ability to hear, taste, or see, with dizziness or hypersensitivity to light or sound, cognitive changes with a shortened attention span, easily distracted, overstimulated by the environment, difficulty staying focused on a task, difficulty following directions or understanding information, a notable feeling of disorientation, confusion, or other neuropsychological deficiencies, and speech changes such as difficulty finding the right word, difficulty expressing words or thoughts, and/or difficulty actually forming the sounds of speech. If any of these warning signs occur, seek immediate medical attention. But less traumatic concussions can still lead to prolonged symptoms. A person who has suffered any concussion needs treatment and regular evaluation. Even mild concussion can lead to many problems. They may be subject to one or more post-concussive syndromes, like post-concussive syndrome itself. People who suffer any kind of head injury may suffer from side effects that persist for weeks or months. This is known as post-concussive syndrome. Symptoms include memory and concentration problems, mood swings, personality changes, headache, fatigue, dizziness, insomnia, and/or excessive drowsiness. Patients with post-concussive syndrome should avoid activities that put them at risk for a repeated concussion. Athletes should not return to play while experiencing these symptoms. Athletes who suffer repeated concussions should consider ending participation in the sport. Second impact syndrome results from acute, often fatal brain swelling that occurs when a second concussion is sustained before complete recovery from a previous concussion has happened. This is thought to cause vascular congestion and increased intracranial pressure, meaning pressure inside the head, which can occur very rapidly and may be difficult or impossible to control. The risk of second impact syndrome is higher in sports such as boxing, football, ice or roller hockey, soccer, baseball, basketball, and snow skiing, or any activity where head injury is a high likelihood. The CDC reports an average of 1.5 deaths per year from sports concussions. In most cases, a concussion, often undiagnosed, had occurred prior to the fatal one. Chronic traumatic encephalopathy, referred to as CTE, meaning long-term, chronic, associated with physical trauma, traumatic, brain disease, encephalopathy, is a form of brain damage that is a progressive degenerative disease, which can only be definitively diagnosed after death in individuals with a history of multiple concussions and other forms of head injury. CTE has been most commonly found in professional athletes participating in American football, ice hockey, professional wrestling, and other contact sports who have experienced repetitive brain trauma. It has also been found in soldiers exposed to multiple blasts or concussive injuries. In both cases, resulting in characteristic degeneration of brain tissue. Individuals with CTE may show symptoms of dementia, such as memory loss, aggression, confusion, and depression, which generally appear years or even decades after the trauma. These are the worst-case scenarios. Most concussions are not life-threatening. However, they do require treatment and rest, even if there has been no loss of consciousness. And the treatment and rest need to be continued until all the symptoms have totally cleared, including complete recovery from any inability to concentrate, have a minor headache, or any sleep disturbance. It's important to be informed and aware of the signs, symptoms, and immediate issues around concussions. The American Academy of Neurologists has an excellent resource page at www.aan.com, including downloadable apps for iTunes, sports concussion guidelines and reference sheets, TV and radio pieces, summary and tip sheets for coaches, patients, and families, free online concussion training for coaches from the CDC, references on relevant state laws, many useful links, and lots of other great, accurate information. So, what can we do if we have or suspect a concussion? First, always get checked by a physician. Signs of concussion can be very subtle, and you don't want to risk permanent impairment. The standard treatment for concussion is rest, especially brain rest itself. Avoid any impact exercise or vigorous exertion that will jar the body. Limit screen time, intensive reading, and anything requiring concentration. If a person with concussion tries to use their brain too intensively, they will often have a resurgence of their symptoms, including persistent headache, unresponsive to pain medications, brain fog, changes in appetite, sleep patterns, or personality. Let your abilities be your guide, but stop before reaching the point of the symptoms returning. It can take months to fully recover from a concussion, and trying to push yourself or your child before full recovery will only delay the whole healing process and may result in permanent or long-term impairment. Let's talk a little bit about osteopathy in the context of treating concussions. Gentle, traditional osteopathic treatment is very beneficial when recovering from concussion. Gentle hands-on work by an osteopathic physician who specializes in osteopathic manual medicine helps reduce swelling and spasm of the strained muscles and tissues in the head and neck, leading to improved circulation of the arterial and venous vasculature, as well as the lymphatic drainage and cerebrospinal fluid. Osteopathic treatment helps restore normal blood flow in the head and brain, as well as help to restore normal range of motion and the structural relationships of the bones of the head, face, jaw, and neck. Osteopathic treatment helps the whole body recover from the shock of the head trauma and helps the whole person heal and recover so they can return with confidence at the right time to their usual activities. It's important to realize that the best treatment for a concussion is to prevent it in the first place. So here are some tips on preventing head injury. Buy and use helmets and protective headgear approved by the American Society for Testing and Materials for specific sports 100% of the time. The ASTM has vigorous standards for testing helmets for many sports. Helmets approved by the ASTM bear a sticker stating this. Helmets and headgear come in many sizes and styles for many sports and must properly fit to provide maximum protection against head injuries. In addition to other safety apparel or gear, helmets or headgear should be worn at all times for baseball and softball, cycling, football, hockey, horseback riding, powered recreational vehicles, skateboards, scooters, skiing, and other sports as well. And a helmet can only help if it is actually on your head. Make sure that it is relatively new and undamaged, fits properly, and that you take it with you to your game or sport. Helmets should be replaced after even one significant blow, as the helmet may have suffered hard-to-detect internal damage, which can limit its protective ability. The issue with concussion is that it is not always obvious in a person who has banged their head and not lost consciousness, but they may have nonetheless bruised their brain and need to rest and recover. Always get checked out after a head injury and plan to rest and recover until all symptoms are gone and you are back to your usual self. It is never worth having long-term mental impairment to rush back into a game of any kind, even the game of life. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your questions, comments, and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and would like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathic medicine, we are at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut, Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman. Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990, Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m. with evening hours, Wednesdays and Fridays, or on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. Meanwhile, I'll be looking forward to being with you next time, every other Friday at 12:30 and Sundays at 5:30. Take care of yourself, enjoy your health, and thanks for listening.